You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Thinks Dan needs another nickname.
From the Chris Wessel Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am the old Zeuser, Daddy Rich, Tugboat, the old new Blue Eyes, Danzas, sure. That seems like enough. Personally,
for now.
Danzas is the only one you didn't give to yourself.
I kind of like that one.
No, actually, that's incorrect. Big Daddy Rich was from Wes, based on the Chuck Daly book he read.
Oh. So you're right. That. You're right. I thought Wes also was in the game of trying to come up for monikers for you and side names. He enjoyed that.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And we miss him. Colleen Wolf's
hey.
Here.
Hey. What's up?
Greg Rosenthal, and that's Mark Sessler. What's up?
Hello.
Here she is. She's back. She's back in the Chris Wesseling podcast studio.
I got to say, I'm a little disappointed.
Not mad, just disappointed?
And the listeners.
Oh, yeah, you asked for something.
I made a request for new Connie theme music.
What came in?
And
where is it?
I asked Eric Roberts, our producer.
Eric.
Right before we started. Any new submissions over in the ATNpodcast@gmail.com? Eric?
I did not see any.
Counterpoint.
Yeah.
I understand why you're a little miffed.
A little bit.
But what if it's the kind of thing where when you go into your own workspace or lab, if you're the listener, you're just spending the right amount of time to come up with something genius versus I'm going to crank something out. It's been a solid week.
But also I feel like there needs to be a competition or there needs to be a prize to really drive people to do it.
You got one more?
I don't. I personally like that one. The acapella one is.
Play it again. Colleen Wolf. I do like his voice.
Connie's the queen. She is the queen of NFL.
A lot of cred to Colleen in that one, too.
Wow. I don't know. Now I'm starting to feel uncomfortable and I'm like sweating. So.
Too much?
This is maybe a lot.
I think that's your sleeping pill wearing off. You know, it's like
yeah, what's
working
going on?
Well, through your body?
Listen, I haven't been sleeping very well. Last couple nights, I've been up and awake. Like, I wake at 1 a.m. and I can't fall back asleep until 5. Mm. So last night, I took a Benadryl-esque pill called hydroxyzine.
Oh, when did this ever go wrong for people?
And I'm still coming out of it, not going to lie. But I did sleep last night, so that's good.
You look awake.
Thank you.
At the very least.
I did drive here.
I feel like I'm really high.
Oh, God, I can't believe that.
I know that sleeping world, and I do remember a time that at the Combine, I mistakenly took multiple Benadryls that were sleep-inducing versus the one where it's like, we're going to correct you, but you won't fall asleep. It's like the second of 18 press conferences, and I was like, I'm dying. I'm like, I cannot stay awake. I need someone to cart me away, call an ambulance, get me a gun.
I didn't know that there's a non-drowsy Benadryl.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. I went
the more
to
you
the,
know. That's great.
I can't take any cough medicine without falling asleep instantly. Like, it might as well be
this is
like
great
smack.
Information to know.
And I remember we went to the, it's a rite of passage. If you grew up in the tri-state area, you go to the Christmas Spectacular at Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, yeah.
One uh-huh. with the Rockettes. Yep. And I was like 12 and I was not feeling well. And the whole family went, my whole mom's side of the family. So it was like 25, 30.
Oh plus. My God.
And I was like, Mom, I'm sick. I can't do this. And like, Danny, you're going. So I put on the sweater and then she gives me the cough medicine. Within 5 minutes of the show, I was head tilted back, snoring loudly in Radio City Music Hall. They didn't let me back in until like the 2012 draft. Good memories. Good memories. Stuff.
Good security.
Don't like drugs. They're not.
Me either. But now we know how to drug you instantly.
So oh, yeah.
That is great.
Oh, yeah. All right. Today. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing great.
You seem a little quiet today. What's going on? What's going on in that brain?
You okay?
That big old brain of Greg.
I don't know.
Is it the box?
I think we've maybe reached the point where there's two. I'm sick of hearing myself.
What?
We've reached the point of shows where it's like, I'm done with it.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
My God. It's just week four. Yeah.
That's a problem.
What is this mini coffin you have here?
You see, the box is what you think it is. This is not like a baby coffin or anything. This is a box.
Oh my God.
Okay. Well, you're the one that called it a mini coffin. What do you think you put in a mini coffin?
It could be used for that. If
could be a time capsule.
If there was a need, but that's not what it's doing right now.
This is a box. It's a wooden box. I don't know. What is it? It's not oak. Plywood? I think it's pretty cheap wood. But inside the box is, well, what's one of your favorite films, Mark Sessler, from the 1990s?
Oh, I know. You're referring to Seven.
Seven.
Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, Gwyneth Paltrow vehicle.
What is the famous line from that particular film?
Oh, what's in the box? Mm.
Yeah. There's not good stuff in this box.
Do we have to open it?
Now, it's not Gwyneth Paltrow's head, so I'm going to tell you that right now. But there's...
What's in the fucking box?
There's some ominous things in this box. And also, just to be nice, I put a couple good things in the box.
Oh.
So you're gonna pull things out of this box, and most of them will be terrible. Mm. And your job will be to react to it and try to almost rationalize and spin it. If you get something bad.
I mean, if there's ever a show to check out on YouTube.
Oh God.
It's a mess though.
The production value here is off the charts.
So we're pulling things out of that tiny box.
Right out of the box.
Okay.
Hand Great. In the box, pull it out. All right. But before that, let's get to the previews of the prime time, and a certain series of games is beginning. Mm. International games begin this week, believe it or not, week four. Let's start, though, on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
Good one. Looking forward to this one. The Detroit Lions, 2-1, heading to Lambeau to face the 2-1 Packers. Both teams, Greggy. I'm going to get Greggy back by talking ball. This will get your juices flowing again. The Lions, very nice performance.
Someone drugged Greg before this show.
I mean,
this is sort of a stunning.
I haven't been that quiet. It's just I didn't have much to contribute. It's okay
well,
to just lay
it was
back
more like I asked kind of like a – kind of an innocent question, but then you came back with I can't hear myself anymore, and I'm like uh-oh.
Well, that was, you know, trying to be funny.
It was good. The Lions played very well, I thought, especially on the defensive side of the ball in week three against the Falcons. And the Packers, we know, coming back from 17 down in the fourth quarter at Lambeau, really in Jordan Love's first start, Greggy, being shorthanded the way they are, that is like the birth of a new, like, I'm not going to say legend, because you Ooh. Chances to get three legendary quarterbacks in a row are beyond nil, you would think. But it's the birth of a great storyline and a great potential career for Jordan Love. So two teams feeling good about themselves, two rivals squaring off with Al and Kirk on the call. Your thoughts?
I'm excited that we might get to see something closer to what the Packers were supposed to be going into the season in this game. The buzz, the word is that Aaron Jones and Christian Watson are expected
Please.
To play.
Join us.
We'll see. We'll see about David Bakhtiari and, you know, Jair Alexander. And so there's other important people. Elton Jenkins, their offensive lineman, might be out too. But I think it's a great coaching matchup because I have really noticed Matt LaFleur feeling himself. His two-point conversion that he went for to make it a six-point deficit last week on the first touchdown. I think a lot of people noticed that. That won them the game. That's an example of, you know, the nerds with the analytics like winning the game. And yet that's never a big story. But when you go for fourth and one and you get stuffed, that's a big story. But I've seen the creativity in the play calls. You've seen some wide open receivers for Jordan Love. Jordan Love's actually been the least accurate quarterback in the entire NFL in terms of throwing uncatchable balls. And that doesn't surprise me. He either throws amazing passes or he's kind of all over the place.
He's 51 for 96, and that's a little over 50%.
Yeah. Right, and he makes great throws, and I think he makes good decisions, so the accuracy hasn't killed him. But my point is, we got Luke Musgrave out there, a rookie tight end, who's been fine. Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and we got guys running open against NFL defenses. That's Matt LaFleur. He's really thrown some great shot plays every week, and now he's going up against the Lions defense, which is coming off their best game of the season, and Aaron Glenn, who I think did such a good job last week against Atlanta. I think it's a fun little matchup.
I think it's these two teams that for you, you know, this is just you kind of are into teams or you're not. You can't help it. The Lions, a super bore fest for me for like a decade plus, and the Packers sort of just the same thing. I'm now like at a peak interest in both teams. And even last year with like Team of ATL, it's like, cool, I'm with you, kind of. But now I'm like, what I see in the last couple of weeks,
that
like
was
they
weird.
Won me over. No, but it's like, that's just true. It was like, I can't fake
right.
it, you know?
Well, you denied throughout the last half of last season that you were faking it.
Well, the thing is, like, I see where you're coming from, but now I feel it a little bit differently.
Okay.
And I think it's like, these are two teams that have, they're going through major transformations. And like, Brad Holmes to me, like the Lions GM, this draft class, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell, Sam Laporta, Brian Branch, who looks like an absolute star. Last year was Aiden Hutchinson. On the Green Bay Packers side, you got Reed, like you mentioned, Dobbs, Musgrave. These are the only two teams in the league with rookies who have 350-plus scrimmage yards already this season. They are incredibly – I think for the Packers, it's come through injuries, no doubt, without Watson, without Jones. But it's like you've got like these young teams – developing into a completely changed NFC North. And I'm with you that Love is a little inaccurate, but I also love that he's like not scared to just throw the ball downfield. And Goff's like actual metrics and statistics over the last like 20 games are insane. It's like it's kind of just working out for both teams. So this is a Thursday night game that in years past I would have snoozed through probably parts of it. I will be watching this time.
I can't wait for this game. Are you kidding me? I mean, I know it's so early, but you look at the rest of the division, these two teams are, I think, going to be duking it out at the end of the year for the division title.
I mean, the other two are 0-3, so they're off
right.
to a good start.
So whoever wins this game will have, you know, sole possession, whatever, for the time being of the division. But I think it's interesting, too, looking at the Packers' schedule, after they get basically one game in 23 days, because after TNF, they get that mini bye, then they don't play again until Monday night, and then they get an actual bye.
Hmm.
So it's a team that's banged up right now, that offensive line, as you guys mentioned, like they could be without 60% of their starting offensive line, which isn't great, but hopefully they'll get Aaron Jones back and they'll get Christian Watson back for the first time this season. You can kind of really see what this offense could be, because guys like Romeo Doubs, like he looks really good. That toe drag swag that he had along the sideline, I feel like that didn't get nearly enough pop as it should have. And then you talk about the young guys on the Lions side, Jahmyr Gibbs starting in place of David Montgomery and looking really good. I mean, he is going up against this Packers run defense now that allowed over 200 yards in the loss to Atlanta. So he could be in for a nice game if David Montgomery is not able to go.
Sounds like Montgomery will play, and Taylor Decker, their right tackle as well, could be returning. Although the Lions are probably down about five other starters. Both these teams have been really destroyed by injuries and winning anyways.
This injury report is insane.
Yeah.
Too much.
It's so many people.
Everybody's hurt right now, it feels like. The Lions offense has had, especially, you know, in this Goff era, has had a really nice floor. In fact, they can match a franchise record if they score at least 20 points on Thursday. That would be the 13th consecutive game they've done that. That's very nice. Also nice is when you watch this defense, and I know it's the Falcons, and they have their issues right now, but they're continuing to build off the way last year ended, and the pass rush is getting home now, and it's not even just Aiden Hutchinson, because I think he had only his first sack
Two.
In week three. Did he have two?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of pressures, but
They're consistent. The pressure is getting home. You saw how they shut down Bijan Robinson on the ground in that game as well. So it's like you're seeing just growth, continued growth on that side of things. You mentioned Brian Branch, who's all over the field, another rookie. So if this is what the Lions are going to be, I feel differently about them now than I did a month ago because the defense really is, if it's going to continue to build here, I know the offense is going to be good. And if you put those two things together, this is like a 10 or 11 win team. I kind of like them in this game.
I thought it was like what they did against the Falcons to allow 44 yards on the ground. I didn't expect that to happen. I thought that was the kind of thing that Atlanta could do week after week. But the 2 weeks before, they only allowed 90 to the Chiefs, 82 in week two. They've got a stout run defense. They actually only had, I think, two sacks going into week three. And it kind of, they exploded against the Falcons. And so it's like, can you continue that? Like, I think you can. You mentioned like Taylor Decker being back. That takes Penei Sewell and moves him back to his natural position. So the line starts to look the way that they envisioned it. And they're strong on both fronts. And like the way that their offensive line, this is like the number four line versus the number one. And like that should be interesting.
In terms of what?
PFF score of like overall line grade. Versus one.
I like that.
Quickly, Rashawn Gary. I mean, he looked great last week, and he got the game ball, and he was crying in the locker room and had three
Hutch,
sacks
represent.
In that game.
Coming off an ACL and going to be a free agent this year. And they're rushing Hutch from the inside quite a bit, too. Like, they're a fun team. If they win on the road after ending the Packers season in Week 18 in that Sunday night game last year, that's a big... changing of the guard in the division. I think they're 1 year ahead. I'm with you. I like the Lions. I think they're 1 year ahead in their sort of development. The Packers are kind of like where the Lions were a year ago.
By the way, those line metrics are actually the attractiveness of each group.
Oh, okay.
So it's number four versus
curious.
Number one. And so it depends. We'll see if we get,
both physically attractive. Yeah. Got it. All right, let's head to Sunday. And it's not a primetime game, but it is the beginning of the London series. We will be in London. Have we mentioned that? I think we have.
Yeah.
What game are we at? We're at...
the third one.
Titans-Ravens.
Titans-Ravens.
Ow!
And very excited for that. The first game is Falcons-Jaguars. Or, to use the way they talk, Jaguars. From Wembley Stadium. And you have the Falcons humbled a little bit, come back to earth after that Lions game. You need more from the quarterback, obviously, there, because everything else seems like it's ready to roll. The Jaguars, what are they? What are they right now, Connie? Are the Jaguars?
That's a great question, because the offense, they never found a rhythm last week. I don't know really where I am on Desmond Ridder. He was just under pressure the entire game. He was sacked 7 times. It affected his accuracy. It affected everything. And they couldn't run the ball either. So the offensive line was having massive, massive problems. The play calling was weird. It was just not a great game for them. Obviously, Bijan Robinson, as I mentioned, he got really bottled up last week. But the Falcons defense kind of looks interesting right now. And it's always such a mess. There's never a pass rush. And it's not like the pass rush is anything incredible right now because it's still kind of middling. But they have guys like Grady Jarrett on the inside and David Onyemata who are really getting to the quarterback and pressuring him a ton, whoever that quarterback is. But also defensively, like Jesse Bates, 3 interceptions in 3 games. That was such an amazing pickup for them in the offseason. And it's something they really needed.
They're good enough. Like, the whole point was, let's get this defense good enough and the running game can carry us. And I was pretty disappointed last week by just like the lack of will that really the Lions won that battle against them. And this is another team in Jacksonville where they're much better stopping the run than they're rushing the passer. They're one of the worst pass rush teams in the league. Trayvon Walker, the worm is turning in Jacksonville, where all the fans who were hitting out at any analyst that pointed out that, like, maybe that wasn't such a great pick. Aiden Hutchinson looks a little better. Now they're at that point where, like, this is looking very troubling. Devin Lloyd's been a bit of a bust, too, and first-round pick, he's hurt now out of this game. But this is a defense that's pretty good stopping the run, and so they ask you to throw the ball against them, essentially. And that's what the Lions were doing last week. And Desmond Ridder is not at the point that he can take what the defense gives him. Like, the defense is playing in such a way that, like, we're going to do everything we can to stop the run. Let's see if you can take advantage. And that's why Arthur Smith is letting Ridder throw the ball more, but instead he's throwing a bunch of hospital balls. He's taking sacks, and he's making big-time mistakes, which in his four games last year, the one thing he did well was not make huge mistakes, at least, and he's doing that this year.
Yeah, I guess, like, in another world, if the Desmond Ridder thing went really well, he's more like Jordan Love at this point. Imperfect, but there's, like, a lot of hope, and I think the hope is disappearing a little bit with Desmond Ridder, and it's like, I don't know, that Tannehill trade concept still sits in my mind as, like, maybe you course correct this as soon as possible, because there's a lot of talent on this team. They right now feel like if you can shut down the run and do what happened last week, you have no chance. And it's like, they didn't seem very creative on offense to me a week ago. It's like everything I kind of liked about them when they went up against the Packers and what happened in week one vanished. And I think it's a chance for, like, a Jaguars team that's probably more practiced than any other team in the league at traveling to London and understanding how to do that and maximize it there for 2 weeks, which is a little strange. Like, Doug Peterson, who I guarantee doesn't love the idea of staying in London for 2 weeks. None of these coaches actually do, no matter how nice it is for the fans. Like,
it's a beautiful city.
To go to London for 2 weeks
great
would be
culture.
Great. To have to try to, like, he's already said, like, we don't know how, like, our film study is going to happen on a team-wide basis in our hotel between week one and week two. So that stuff sits out there. But I think they're in general, like,
I mean, they have Wi-Fi over there. I can.
It's not a Wi-Fi thing. It's more just like
hop on the train, go up to Manchester.
You're in a hotel versus your team
go
complex.
Fishing.
So you got to, like, figure. Yeah, but you don't have time to go fishing when you're trying.
Oh,
I mean,
bummer.
We don't have time to go fishing.
Here, I know. Here is a Desmond Ridder stat, the PFF, because it happened again against the Lions, or he's throwing the ball right to these teams, and they're not catching the ball, and that's very fortunate, because I think he's only credited with what, one interception so far this year?
Had some fumbles, but
per PFF, he's had 7 turnover-worthy plays in 3 weeks.
He's not going to stay that lucky.
Plus 5 is the ratio, however
that leads
they
the
do
league.
It, and that leads the league. So he's kind of surviving a little bit here by the rest of the team has played well, and he's gotten pretty lucky. And I'm just wondering how much longer this is going to last, because Arthur Smith, as we said, I haven't loved Arthur Smith the way he's been running this offense so far either. And I'm wondering when he takes the keys away from Ridder. Mm. And the problem with that is, because you see this with other teams, if you go completely away from the quarterback, that makes your offense one-dimensional, and then nobody wins that way either. You're kind of stuck in our league if your quarterback stinks. And and who is their backup? What is plan B? And that's when, if I'm a Falcons fan, if this isn't going to work out, I'm mad, because this team was otherwise ready to make the leap, and you didn't really build in a backup plan. So
Heinicke,
still early.
I would be curious to see Heinicke at
okay.
some point.
I would
potentially.
Too.
I wonder when we see him. Because
although they're 2-1. They're 2-1.
Because they're still saying all the right things, and he doesn't seem like Ridder's lost the locker room. You hear all the guys saying he's our dog, we're riding with him. But let's see what happens if this continues.
Calvin Ridley revenge game, huh?
Yeah, I am very curious how Ridley comes out in this game. Ridley has been one of the biggest reasons why the Jaguars have lost these two games. I mean, he has beyond struggled. 4 drops in the two games, a bunch of mental errors. The Jaguars are sort of the opposite of Atlanta, whereas, like, their quarterback's playing well, I think, once you actually watch the games, and everyone else is struggling. Like, he's 3rd in PFF grades, and they're 27th in offensive EPA, like, per pass. And 3rd seems a little high to me, but I kind of get it. And Ridley seems in his head. Like, Peterson had to talk to him. They're trying to, like, run the offense through him, and maybe he's not totally ready for that. It's a weird situation, and now you got the game against Atlanta. I do want to mention, I had this book sent to me by Ben Isaacs, The American Football Revolution, Dan.
Yes.
How Britain fell in love with the NFL.
It's us. Oh. It's just the picture of us in the book.
We're actually, and it's the hardcover.
We're actually mentioned in the book, but it reminds me, because this game's at Wembley.
Hold on. What does it say about us?
Yeah.
What's it say about Mark?
I think it's just like we're popular with fans there.
How is this not bookmarked?
It's actually a book. Like, you could read what is
you went out of your way to bring up the book, Greggy, and we're in the book.
I wanted to give Ben Isaac some
pop. How about you find it?
What about us?
Find it while we...
Later in the show.
While you look for it.
We're not even going to stop down. We're just going to all sit here silently until Greg finds us in the book.
I was going to say how all the games used to be at Wembley, and now this is the only one that's at Wembley.
It's Trevor Lawrence's birthday, too, while they're over there. So
this is where he got his
big win.
Like, to your point, Greg, on Lawrence, because he has 4 touchdowns and 3 interceptions over his last 6 games, but it's like a box score that lies, because he is essentially, like, third in the league on big time throws.
He's been fine.
But his drop rate is second in the NFL. And Calvin Ridley looked great in week one. I thought it was like, this is going to completely change their offense. And it's been a ton of drops. They've had that stuff in the end zone against the Chiefs. There was a sideline throw that went awry. It's like he's getting – Trevor Lawrence has some bad luck with his wideout so far.
Like they're trying to integrate Ingram and Kirk, like didn't have any touches in the first half. And then they're – you know, sometimes –
Stay on the quote thing.
The next,
yeah, where, what are you doing?
Next year.
That's
what next year is hard.
Right now. all right. So that's a good game. Shout out to everybody in England and surrounding territories. Should be a fun watch. And, yes, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. One last thing, Connie.
Yeah.
And this is not a Connie thing. This is more like our business type of thing.
Uh-huh.
We throw around revenge game pretty liberally. And like, what revenge, like what did the Falcons do to Calvin Ridley? I mean, he stepped away from the team for mental health issues. That's not something we're making fun of or joking about. But then he gambled on pro football and then got suspended for a year. And then they were like, all right, we got to
kind of. It's a gray area.
We got to kind of move on here. This is a little
messy.
All right,
so we'll reboot it. We'll call it a connection game. All right?
It doesn't have the same, but I understand.
It doesn't have the same. Connection game.
Same juice. If anything, it could be, nobody ever says it's a Falcons revenge game. Like on Ridley.
Right.
Put us in a tough spot.
That's true.
Yeah, it could be team against player.
You guys, have you checked your passports, by the way?
I'm good. I know what you're saying.
I just got a new one last year.
Why? From what angle?
10 years.
Yeah, if it's expired, because mine was. So.
Oh no, we went through this drama,
and I just noticed it.
And you're leaving
next Monday.
See, I was in this situation.
You and gotta do the.
I realized
long-time
it on Monday.
Know. It's very stressful.
And we're dealing with the State Department.
You're dealing with the State
fine.
Department. You're dealing with a lot of bureaucracy, and you got to cut through red tape. And you got to get on that airplane.
Oh yeah, I know.
I don't wish that upon you.
They get into that Colleen background check area, which is, you know,
it gets murky.
Well, they're gonna find out about the traffic school, and the speeding ticket,
and why you left. You fled Philadelphia for the other side of the country.
Mm-hmm.
There's some
on the lam.
Yeah,
there's some stories.
Living in Mexico now. I mean,
put it that way. Put it that way. All right, next. Sunday night football. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Remember, and Greg is looking. He's searching.
I'm about to give up.
Don't they have, like, an index or a table?
I don't remember.
You look like you're really trying hard.
I'm popping the pages. What more can you do?
Do you remember the recent film directed by Adam McKay, Don't Look Up?
Yeah.
A little heavy-handed. A lot of stars in it. Some good moments. It's fine.
Okay.
I liked it more than other people.
Yeah, I kind of did too, but
it got railed by the views.
A little bit. I find it quite rewatchable. Check it out. However, the movie is about these two kind of low-level astronomers who realize that there's a comet heading for Earth, and then they're trying. Greg gave up.
I'm giving up.
They are trying so hard to get people ready to understand what's about to happen, and especially their own government refuses to amplify the message they're trying to send, and leading to the government and the president, played by Meryl Streep, and a henchman played by Jonah Hill, starting a catchphrase, don't even look up. Don't look up. Everything's fine. By the way, spoiler alert, pause. It hits, and the world ends. That's how it ends.
Okay.
Okay. That's how I feel as a Jets fan entering Sunday Night Football, that the Jets, and I know they went out and they got Trevor Siemian now and everything is well and good, but it's not. They've been telling us as Jets fans and telling football fans, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Zach's not the problem. We support Zach Wilson. Sunday's going to be fine. The Chiefs at home and a big primetime, that's fine. The slow start, that's fine. There is not an issue here.
It's like a way to go, Brownie.
Okay, so we're Leo here, and we're Jen Lawrence, and we're trying to spread the gospel that, no, not everything is fine at all. I am terrified about Jets-Chiefs Sunday Night Football because I do think this could be a potential disaster, asteroid-level disaster for the Jets. I was texting with somebody who I respect more than anyone else when it comes to Jets history, Rich Cimini of ESPN. Just about what's been going on the past week or so. And he kind of reminded me something that he wrote right the night of the Rodgers injury. He said the repercussions from the Rodgers injury will be felt for years and will impact many lives. Sunday night could be a rock bottom moment. That's what I'm scared about. And I'm not into Jet like misery porn. I don't want that. That's part of the thing that stinks about it. You just want to be positive. You wanted this year to be different. But everything is telling me, oh, my God, duck and cover Sunday night. And my brother, Kevin, has told me he got a free ticket to the game. Apparently back east, everybody's trying to unload their tickets for this game.
Oh, no.
And I was telling my brother, don't go to that game.
Damn.
Don't do it, dude. It's going to be really sad and really gnarly. That's my fear. I think a lot of people feel this way. Samini also reported that he was told that there was a – here's a quick rundown. Samini reports he was told that it was a hot topic in the locker room, Zach Wilson continuing to start. Robert Saleh repeatedly in press conferences threw his support behind Zach Wilson. Eric Roberts told him right before they started in his media address today, he kind of pointed out it finally that Zach needs to play better. We know Zach needs to play better. That's the first time he even really said that. Joe Namath, the most positive influence around the Jets forever, no matter how bad things are. Joe Namath, the most famous person around the Jets, finally broke bad and turned on the entire organization. In a interview on ESPN Radio, Michael Kay, here's just a quick portion.
How can a coach make things better for Zach?
How can a coach say the locker room's together? How many teams have we been on? Are you telling me there aren't some cats on the defensive side saying, whoa, man, what's wrong with you? Yeah, there's not all harmony in the locker room. And if there is, they need to get rid of the people.
He's calling for Douglas and Saleh to be fired and for them scorched earth.
Whoa.
Then you have Aaron Rodgers out in Malibu, and we don't need it, Aaron, doing the McAfee show. And speaking of, I would like to play you what Aaron Rodgers said, but we have a quick aside here.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the latest edition of the Media Landscape Report with host Dan Hansis.
I would love to play you. Thank you, Eric. I would love to play you Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show, but it's essentially behind a paywall now.
Oh.
ESPN is charging a licensing fee for anything that comes out of that show.
Yeah,
so you will not be hearing anything from the Pat McAfee show on this program going forward. And my take on this is, this is probably above McAfee and his people. Been on their show. Good. They do great. They started as like a grassroots show together. Now they're on ESPN. Isn't it good to have your show played on different formats throughout the country, throughout
the world? I think it is above his head. It's like a ESPN NFL media issue.
Charging.
They're just trying to make that money.
Well, why are we not paying? Why are we? Where's the? I mean, we're a multi-billion dollar company. I asked the question, what are we spending money on? Although I'm not supposed to ask that question, so I won't ask that question.
And then there was a fun clip on Fox. Like, we love, you know, Terry Bradshaw. We love Terry Bradshaw. Love him. Like, he's like America's uncle, right? Mm-hmm. He had an issue remembering Desmond Ritter's name. Wanted to play that on this show. Like, one of the things I like about this show is that we talk about the media landscape in the NFL, not just the games. Can't play that either. Won't be cleared by Fox. Mm. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, come on. That's why we have Terry on the show. He's kind of folksy and he stumbles sometimes. So let's have fun. Let's have fun together.
Does Zumwalt do a Terry?
That might be. We might have to. Yeah. We've done it with Liev Schreiber.
Right.
I think the only repercussion is to never mention the Pat McAfee show ever again. That'd be the only way to strike back. But he's making news.
He is.
I mean, I don't even think it's Pat. I don't even think.
Sure.
It's not
personal.
I'm saying
they're getting the pop anyways without the, they're getting their cake and eating it too.
All right, good app. Good app.
I'm worried about you on Sunday. Like, I'm worried.
Don't, because I'm okay. It's like, it's fine. Like, I know what's coming, so you can't hurt me. It's going to be miserable, and it's going to be ugly. And Aaron Rodgers from Malibu is telling the Jets from 3,000 miles away to grow up and not point fingers. And it's like, we'll see. The Chiefs are going to roll once again. And it's just going to be how bad can it get? I do think this is the last time Zach Wilson ever starts a game.
Wow.
That's what I think.
It does go to show how meaningless talk is, and even human behavior before actual games, mm-hmm. because Hard Knocks was pretty convincing that he's like this new guy, he's more confident. Every, you know, Romo, every person that he sits down with, the coaches, they're all convinced he's playing with a new confidence. But then he gets out on the field, and he doesn't play with a new confidence. He plays with no confidence. He just holds the ball forever. I know it's against Belichick, but like none of that translated. All of it was just talk to fill airtime, and you don't really know until the ball snapped. And so, now we kind of know.
In short, everything is a lie.
You know what? You know what I'm curious about, and let me know what you think, Dan. Mm. And I don't want you to be offended by this.
I won't be.
I do wonder if the Jets defense is good enough. They're definitely not good enough for this situation, but are they good enough in general? Like, what's the better defense in this game? Is it the Chiefs or the Jets? So far, the numbers would tell you, you know, the Chiefs. In three games, the Jets have been good, but they're 17th in DVOA. I think that's misleading. But even just yards per drive, points per drive, they haven't been great. The Cowboys have played three games. The Cowboys offense clearly played their best against the Jets. As a Patriots fan, when I got a chance to watch that game, it's like, look, the Jets finished that game being special. And that was the one time all year I really thought. And they finished out the Bills game. So they've had moments. Not like they've been bad. But before that, I was thinking, wow, this is the best. You know, the Patriots moved the ball pretty well. You know, yards per play, over 350 yards. They're a pretty limited offense to begin with. I was like, okay, this is pretty positive. They're moving the ball better against the Jets, certainly, than against the Dolphins. The Jets are built around their defense, and there's a lot of reasons how Zach Wilson, the offense, affects the defense. But that was the first half of that game, and they've just been good. And they got to be great, and they haven't been great.
Sauce Gardner's not been last year's Sauce Gardner in every way. It's been a little bit different. But I really, and I know there's this, like, oh, momentum doesn't exist. I hear you, Patrick Kleban, but, like, the one thing I think we've been saying this for weeks. Like,
it's so funny how Patrick's in everyone's head, because I did a show with Adam Rank this week and he said the exact same thing that you have said before. And you just said, he's like, I can hear Kleban in my head right now, but I think momentum.
But I disagree, because here's where I disagree, because like we've been talking about the Fisher in the locker room for a long time.
Right.
And I think it's like you can take the hope out of a side of the ball, or they could be frustrated, or it's like, does it affect, like, if you don't think you have a chance? Like, do you spend a little bit less time watching film? Do you kind of just hope you get through the season without injury? I mean, I trust these players care a ton, and they're not doing that yet. But if it's like your offense has scored 10 or fewer points 11 times since 2021, the vast majority, except for two of those, have all been Zach Wilson starts. And so it's like, I hate that this is happening to Zach Wilson. The person, the whole thing, it's like, it's an organizational failure when you've spent more time with this player than anyone else. And you went in thinking that he could handle this if anything happened to Aaron Rodgers at all, even if it was like two starts where you needed him. This was your self-scouting, all right?
I mean, we all feel, I guess, bad for Zach Wilson, but it's ultimately the organization. He should have never been back on the
field. He shouldn't be in this situation.
And he is on the field, and they won't give up. To answer your question, Greg, yeah, the defense has been good more than great. I mean, they give up 16 points to Josh Allen and the Bills. They give up 13 points to the Patriots. There was a safety in there. So it's been good. But, like, the pass rush hasn't gotten home as much as I thought it would. And also, it's like, I don't think the coaching has been good for this team. I think that Hackett's been a little bit lost in the woods with Wilson. They're not using guys like Mecole Hardman at all. They're running the ball too much early. Like, Tony Romo screaming, pass the ball on first down. You got to mix things up. And I think Saleh, like, let's mix in some blitzes. Let's get after Mac Jones a little bit. They're just leaning on that four-man pass rush, and the book's out. Get the ball out quickly against the Jets pass rush.
This is another team that is better at getting the ball out quickly now than any.
And in the Chiefs side, yeah, I think they're set up really well. I think the schedule worked out for them last week. It was a cakewalk against the Bears. I think they get the Jets at a perfect time, obviously. The biggest drama around them is Taylor Swift going to be at MetLife Stadium? I mean, I don't know what else
to worry
about.
I think so.
Do you know Travis Kelce jerseys? The sales on those rose 400%.
400%.
Since that game. That tells you they have a whole new group of people that care about the Chiefs now. That's kind of magical.
I listened to the New Heights podcast today.
You and the world.
First time. Very good. Excellent. Yeah. They have great chemistry.
Our old producer, TD, is their executive producer.
Yeah. Really?
Kind of runs it.
Huh. To TD's credit, I liked actually the production elements of it, the way they did camera cuts and everything. It was very, very good. And Kelce, I talked about it like kind of jokingly. Is this going to be a distraction? It absolutely is going to be a distraction to Travis Kelce. He told me. So it's a parasocial relationship.
He told
us that paparazzi are staking him out outside his house now. Like every time he leaves the house. Like,
guys, I feel like this is a PR stunt, no?
Let's hold that thought. We're going to get to maybe a little bit.
I do quickly love this test for the Chiefs offense, who've been developing, and I don't think their issues are gone because they blew out the Bears. So when they have the ball, that to me is a very intriguing matchup because they're figuring out their receivers. But Mahomes has only taken one sack this year. It's like he's it's like he's Jordan, and he decided I'm going to work on this year not taking any sacks. I'm going to be like Peyton Manning, who just refused. Didn't matter what just refused to take a sack. And you can kind of see the run setting up the pass. He's been running more this year, too, so it's been a little bit different.
Shaky tackle play, too.
Yep. So oh, my God, Jawan Taylor. Like, the penalties, it's
the
outrageous.
Penalties.
Yeah, he's got to figure that out. Are you okay? Because I know you said Justin Herbert is Michael Jordan. Now Greg's coming for the
football
Jordan.
Is completely
no, I think
different.
He's saying sort of a trait of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. We're gonna.
I'm not okay.
Gonna add one move to the arsenal.
I don't
Mahomes
like people
move.
Giving up on major quests that matter to the people around them, and you just took that England book and tossed it to the side. I don't know why you can't find where we mentioned it.
We can do it later.
Later, it's for the show.
It's gonna be. I'll find it for next show. But it was on. It was
go,
like
Greg.
One line. It wasn't anything.
It's crazy. A sticking it point with me.
Our podcast has never been mentioned in any published book before. This is huge.
Thank you to Ben Isaacs. Way more pub than he was expecting.
Finally, Monday Night Football. The Giants are back in prime time.
Why are they doing this New York thing at home again?
Oh.
Ratings. Because they're trying to make the most money. Because they thought Aaron Rodgers was going against Patrick Mahomes.
You're right. Like it's
and the Giants are big eyeballs.
It's a failed destiny.
Here we go. Seattle at the G-Men. Connie, your thoughts on
this? Oh, my God. The Seahawks, they're so hurt right now. I mean, they came into the game against Carolina down two starters already. I mean, there were two starters left that game, Trey Brown and Drumonte Jones with that hip injury. They were already down seven starters. Like, they had their outside linebacker, Darrell Taylor. He didn't finish the game. But hopefully they get Reek Woolen back. At cornerback, that would be huge. If Jamal Adams makes his season debut, that would also be nice on Monday Night Football. And then they have the Week 5 bye, so they get some time to kind of get a little healthier, and hopefully that'll help them. But the thing for me on offense for them, they need to improve on third down. Like it's been so bad to watch this offense and Geno Smith operate that way. I mean, 3 of 12 on third down. I know that they put up 37 points, but still, that's like not going to hold up against better teams.
I think this is a good matchup for them, though, even though they are missing guys. The Giants have PFF's 30th ranked defense. Our friend Kayvon Thibodeau has been a no-show this season. They cannot rush the passer. They're banged up all over the place, too. And it does help, though. I mean, I think there's a chance you get Saquon Barkley. A chance. I would say probably not. But Andrew Thomas is coming back, though.
I don't think so. Really?
He's day-to-day.
You're saying Saquon can make
day-to-day. I mean,
they said he had a chance to play last week.
But that sounded like nonsense.
He told Taylor Rooks that he's dealing with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, that's
so bad. I don't know. I have no idea.
But getting Andrew Thomas back would be big. Like, they need that for their line. It's been a shambles.
Yeah, Seattle's run defense is much improved, and I think that's something you're seeing one of the big differences between last year and this year. So even if Saquon plays, I don't think they're moving the ball on the ground, the Giants. Matt Breida is not going to move the needle on that point. This game is not being played in Seattle, but I just want to give a shout out because we've got a lot of Seahawks fans that listen to the show. Shout out to you guys, especially you guys at Lumen Field. 8 false start penalties for the Panthers. That was a special energy at that game watching it. They had the 2013 Seahawks there, and a bunch of those dudes were there, and Legion of Boom, and they had guys giving pregame speeches and all this stuff. And that reminded me, I got some flashbacks. I remember being at the opening kickoff game following the Super Bowl win. It was Packers Seahawks Thursday night, and I'd never seen a city so completely aligned with their team, just walking through Seattle. It was a beautiful Thursday morning, I remember. And just walking around, I'd never been to Seattle before. And everyone's wearing Seahawks jerseys. Everybody's a member of the 12s. And when that building gets hyped up, that is, get a home game, Seahawks, because I feel like you'd advance.
That was one of my favorite cities to go to for Thursday Night Football was Seattle. That place, it really, there and Arrowhead. We're really legitimately two of the loudest places where you feel your whole body almost. Like, it feels like you're having an out-of-body experience. Like, your brain is vibrating when you're there because of, like, the speakers and everything. The music is so loud. Like, you can feel the building and the ground underneath your feet actually shaking.
Unfortunately, this game is in the big sardine can in the metal.
Well, maybe the 12s show up a little for this one. There's a lot of transplants. That would be nice. I want to see if their defensive line, which really dominated against Carolina, but it was Carolina, has some staying power, because they were very quiet the first 2 weeks. Very good in that game. Jerron Reed kind of turned the clock back. And if Reek Woolen is back, and then Devin Witherspoon, who I mentioned, was kind of the main character of the week before, and there was some good and a lot of bad, but man, there was a lot of good in his second week. He is a dog out there. He's a very entertaining cornerback to watch. Jamal Adams might be returning for this game, and then you got Geno in the ultimate revenge game. I mean, you want to talk revenge game. Hmm. Oh, he finally gets a chance after
dig up this storyline
five again. Or 6 years on the bench. Let's put him in. He has a solid start, but oh no, the ownership can't bear for Eli Manning to sit out anymore, and they make what's his name with the funny haircut?
Who not helping you.
Their head coach? Come on.
I know it. I know it too.
Ben McAdoo. The only man who believed in Geno. They made him bench Geno. Then they fired him. And then they ended up sticking with Eli for a year and a half.
Why are you complaining? Think about this, Greggy.
Yeah, my point is, Geno's got to go there against a defense that has two sacks on the season, no turnovers. And I know they're an underdog in this game. Geno Smith is never an underdog. Let's lock it up.
All right. Like good luck. I like your locking with your heart, which is not, you're usually more clinical than that. But why are you complaining? Because you hate the Giants more than anything in the world. You wouldn't want Geno's renaissance to be happening in Jersey. It's perfect the way it worked out. Everything worked out.
That's true.
I feel like he's more Jets angst than Giants.
I almost forgot that he was on the Giants for that one season.
Greg is very big on that one start.
Well, that start was kind of crazy. I mean, not that he was amazing, but that
he didn't like ball out.
That ownership made the essentially ended the coach's career by saying you have to play Eli.
Well, you understand it, right?
Because all the talk,
Ben McAdoo stunk.
Oh, right. God.
But the talk radio guys were like, how dare you do this? I'm
going
to make you play Eli. And then they fired the coach.
On our show, for a number of episodes in a row, we got into arguments as a group over the whole Eli Manning thing. And I think that you were not seeing it from the viewpoint of the typical New York fan that had a relationship with Eli Manning and the organization that was so loyal to him. It was pretty much a New York thing, I thought.
That was
And this is stupid because they actually
important figure in the history of Giants football, Eli Manning. You view him as Wes was similar. It's there was nothing personal about it. It was just the data points and the study of the film says that he's not a very good quarterback, but he was so much more to that team. And the idea of benching him and ending his consecutive game start streak at that point, Geno was a journeyman. That didn't sit right with the fans or ownership.
And in fairness, they actually played last year. We did this whole storyline. Then the Seahawks rolled, and Geno went out of his way to say exactly what you said, the opposite, that he was treated great, that McAdoo believed in him, and he loved his time.
So why are you continuing this narrative?
I'm just having fun.
Greg.
This is how this is how the game is won for you, Greg, and you get the lock because, man, Ken Walker and Zach Charbonnet, one guy's breaking ankles, the other guy's breaking sternums. That's a nice combo. That's nice. That poor Franklin kid still is tumbling through the universe.
He's in the box to my right.
All right, speaking of the box, let's take a break, and then we will look what's in the box.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, we're back. Again, this is giving a lot of consternation. There's a lot of trepidation. There's a lot of dations here. What's in the box?
What's in the box?
And you guys, we're going to pass the box around. You're going to take something out of the box.
Okay.
And your job is kind of just talk yourself through it. If it's a positive thing, if it's a happy thing in the box, we could talk about that, obviously, and that's great. But you might get something really terrible in the box.
Okay? Is it like a charades thing where we're not telling you what it is?
You're going to share it with us.
Okay.
Then your job, our job, because I think it's important to try to be positive people in the world. We're reaching a large audience. Mm-hmm. Try to spin it if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Mark Sessler will be the first person on this very new segment.
No looking.
I'm excited.
Okay. What's in the fucking box?
All right, read it out.
From Seven? That wasn't from Seven, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Is that Mills? All right.
It's from the sequel, 8. Nailed it.
Hey, you hear who's playing halftime at Super Bowl? Who? Usher? Oh, okay.
Usher.
I'll spin it in the sense that, like...
Yeah, this is easy.
Totally appropriate individual to play the halftime. I'm not a huge Usher person on any level, so it's not like I'm super disappointed that he's playing versus someone else. Every time I've been to the Super Bowl, I think Wes and I sort of held hands on the concept of like, maybe paying attention to this or not, but I started to learn more and more that the halftime show was incredible. And
wait, you were holding hands, not paying attention?
On the topic of because you would go, Dan, you go out and like,
I always watch.
Pay close attention to it. It mattered to you. I would say I can't claim as much intrinsic interest in some of the guests. This would be on the, I thought Beyonce was amazing. So come surprise me. And now I'm going to give more attention to it and go in totally open mind. You know what I mean? Super Bowls you get to go to. And so I'm all for it.
All right.
Usher played a huge role in my life growing up. I love U-S-H-E-R-R-A-Y-M-O-N-D.
Mm.
Come on, you remember that song?
I don't.
Now, baby, tell me what you want to do with me.
What did you figure skate to this? Why was he such a big part of your life?
Because I always listened to him, but he's also a really good performer. I will say that. Like, even if he has not dropped a new song in a while,
he'd do well in this venue, in this situation.
Yes, he puts on a great show, so I have no doubts about that.
You say you're a legit fan.
I liked
him. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So,
one of his songs.
When I brought this up, because Emeka, my betrothed.
Your betrothed. Good one.
is going to the Super Bowl this year.
Betrothed?
Betrothed. You've never said that
betrothed
word.
Betrothed.
It's one of those words. It's good to say new words.
She is my betrothed.
It's his wife. He can say it as he wants to.
It's good to say new words out loud for the first time at this advanced age. I definitely never said that. She was excited about this. Now, it wasn't like Beyonce or Rihanna or anything where she would have gone nuts and was, you know, a little jealous that she wasn't there for the Rihanna year and it was her dad. It's been quite a while. I don't think she's been to a Super Bowl since the New York one. But Usher, it was kind of like, okay,
that works.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's like checking the box. And what you said is like, as pop stars go, and I'm not really one to judge, but from people I trust, if you're just talking dancing skills from a man who sings as a lead pop star.
Very nice.
All-time great. Right at the top, right near the top.
I think he's going to surprise people.
Okay, good. You kind of got me sold. I think we have now moved, and it was kind of a little bit of a sin, I thought, that it took so long to start incorporating hip hop and R&B acts into the halftime show until they totally exhausted the classic rock genre. I think now what they're doing is they are going through the essentially classic hip hop.
Well, yeah, Dr. Dre 2 years ago.
But that was awesome.
I mean, that was
for me, anyway.
That's because it's more our taste, I think. To a certain audience, I feel
but
like Usher.
The one thing
so
I'll say about Usher as we slide the box to Greg is we will get Lil Jon on stage and Ludacris, I believe.
I am wondering.
He's gonna do, yeah, that's the anchor of the whole set.
Well, there's always like seven or eight people in these acts, anyway. So if you're upset with Usher, there'll be seven or eight other people to please you.
We'll take that, rewind it back.
Yeah,
but
make it that one.
But I'm wondering because, like, you know, during Super Bowl week and leading up to the Super Bowl, we always play the songs on the shows, and I just like don't know how many songs are PG enough
well, I think
for
that's
us
what
to play.
Part, yeah, the shadowy league figures on the third floor, why they were so reticent to go down this road.
Right. Because you gotta play.
I can't wait.
You gotta play Love in the Club, but hey, some wild things going on there.
Wild stuff.
Okay. All What's right. in the box?
What's in the box?
All right.
What's
Here
in
we
the
go.
F-ing box?
The Browns are allowing zero or negative yards on 53.7%
positive one
of their plays. That is a totally preposterous stat. It's almost hard to believe. I guess incomplete passes count as that. So that helps make it make sense a little. But their level of dominance through 3 weeks, and yeah, there's no need to spin this, rivals any 3 week stretch in terms of EPA per play and whatnot that basically any defense has ever had. Certainly to start the season. I think it's the best since 99. And just basically any 3 week stretch. It's hard to beat how the Browns are playing defense right now. And that's why I'm interested this week that we'll get into it Thursday, but a better competition, I think, in terms of the team they're playing.
And I mean, just to think of how dark times have been on that defense in general. And I can't really remember, unless you go back to the Bill Belichick era decades ago in Cleveland, any players on that side of the ball having fun. In fact, the last couple of years, it was like a lot of grumbling about the coordinator, the scheme. You've got talent not being used correctly. And my mind goes to this play from Sunday against the Titans, where the Titans, as Myles Garrett is moving around the field, and he's moving all over the place now on that defense under Jim Schwartz, that they're just rotating two tight ends who are like dozy-doing from one side of the formation to the next to try to cover Myles Garrett. And finally, it just ended in a delay of game or something like that. And Jim Schwartz on the sideline is just sitting there chuckling his head off.
Laughing, it's like, and Mike Rabel is like rubbing his eye.
Yeah. This has not happened in Cleveland in a long time, so you don't have to spin it too hard.
Yeah. Jim Schwartz is like, I think, the perfect coordinator for that defense. Yeah. Myles Garrett looks so good, but that play, and then after they came back, Myles Garrett ended up getting the sack anyway on that play.
Right.
It was great. Isn't it your turn?
Schwartz for president. I mean, we know he's got
coordinator of the year.
He's got Mark Feel in a flutter.
Yeah.
Connection to the 90s.
It's my turn. Okay.
It's great.
What's in the f***ing box?
Oh,
hey. Yikes. Hey.
Okay.
Sailor's language.
You could take the girl out of film.
Okay. Vance Joseph's Sunday night meeting with Sean Payton. Oh, my God.
Spin it, baby. Spin it, Blondie.
You know what? Sometimes the strongest steel goes through the hottest fire. And this is a come to Jesus moment. And it's nice that it happened this early in the season for these two. Having some quality time together will hopefully help them kind of get through some of the blocks that they're having. But allowing 70 points for Vance Joseph's not great.
Forget about Zach Wilson. Feeling bad for him. Did you see some of those sideline shots of Vance Joseph as that game was going on?
It's ugly.
How do you spin that positive?
Yeah, because it's not just 70 against the Dolphins and ruining, in Sean Payton's mind, his return to the sideline and embarrassing him. I mean, 32 points in the last three quarters against the Commanders. Also, in retrospect, that's pretty tough when you're giving up a monster lead to the Commanders. I do think Sean Payton will be like extra icy because he's making him look bad.
It's the really weird situation because this doesn't happen that much in the NFL at all, where like he was a failed Broncos head coach. A lot of negative memories and energy around that regime and that time. You come back as a defensive coordinator, is kind of like touted, like, hey, this is great. Like, it's great to be back here. And it's like, no, you like 4 or 5 years later went back and dated like an ex and realizing like a couple weeks in, like, oh, I completely remember why I walked away from this whole situation. Now you're stuck in the middle of it. And Greg called Sean Payton's career over after the failed onside kick to open week one. And you know what? It's looking pretty good about what Greg said. Not for Sean Payton, but for Greg.
I thought it was over when Kevin James played him in a biopic. I was like, it's kind of, there's no coming back from that.
I thought it was over when John Elway passed on Josh Allen. That was a big moment.
Toughy. By the way, they get...
He's just like you, John. Come on.
They get the Bears at Soldier Field. They don't win that game.
Oh, my God.
And then they don't beat, in a Trevor Siemian revenge game, the Jets in week five. Then they go to... Listen to the next three games.
No.
That's a path to 2-3, though, to be fair. That's who you'd kind of want on the schedule, potentially.
Or, on the flip side.
Yeah.
They could go 0-5. At Kansas City on a short week, Thursday Night Football. Oof. Home against Green Bay. Home against Kansas City again.
Oh, my God.
Bye week. At Buffalo. It could get gnarly. That's all.
Nathaniel Hackett is 11.
I know.
And I think Vance Joseph could be the guy who pays for it. But
you don't have to be a part of it.
You got to win one of these next two games. You have to. Or we're talking about one of those ultimate.
You can't lose the Bears. You got to beat the Bears.
Imagine how awkward that flight home was.
Quiet.
For everyone.
I know, and I saw one of the ESPN shows with a big splash headline, like, who's at blame? Sean Payton or Russell Wilson? And I'm like...
Everybody.
Russell Wilson didn't play on
the team. Like, actually, I think Russ had his best game in a while. I mean, it is a problem that he's, like, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league and everything. Right. They gave up for him, and you're just hoping he's average.
But he's better than last
year. But this is not about
it's not
Russell
like
Wilson.
Like Harvey Oswald. Right, you can't just keep pointing the finger at Russell Wilson.
What was that, Russ?
Let's go. Let's ride, baby. Ooh.
All right, here we go.
Oh, what's in the box?
All right, this one actually, I have the right to pass one, and I will pass it to Colleen.
What?
Oh, wow. Okay.
You have the right to
yes,
do it?
Yes, I do have the right.
When you make up the games, you can do whatever you want.
Current biological status of Tank the dog. Well,
where is Tank?
Tank. I don't need to hear from Bridget right now. That's for certain.
So Tank the dog again is the one that
yes,
bit
if
you.
You're not familiar, yeah. Tank is the one that attacked me on
Colleen,
Christmas Day.
I was rooting for the dog.
Of course, Bridget's worried about
Bridget
the dog.
Hates you. I forgot about that.
You know what? I will never. Tank has left his mark on me forever.
Right.
And these scars, they will fade, but they will always be there. And I actually have no idea if Tank is alive.
What was the question or the statement?
What is his current biological status? He's with Bridget, maybe.
Well,
I don't know.
But you're friends Tank? With his owner or former owner,
It's John's family. It's
okay.
John's cousin.
So you haven't followed
theory,
up? That hasn't come up in conversation?
I have not asked about Tank, and Tank has not asked about me. So we just keep it that way. I don't know if you've hung out with Italians, but you just, if there's an issue, you just lock it away.
Bottle it up.
It's over there now.
I mean, because if I'm you and I find out 4 years from now, Barb and Joe aren't coming tonight.
Right.
They had to stay home. They didn't want to be awkward because they're watching Tank, who's still there. I'd feel a little way about how my family feels about this.
If we're getting the whole story from Colleen, and it's her personal life, she doesn't need to share the whole story.
Right.
If she truly doesn't know what's going on, that's a diplomatic play. It's your husband's family. It's a tough spot.
I'm bowing out.
Yep.
It's a toughie. It was a tough Christmas.
It was.
But I think you know the answer.
He gone.
I don't. I actually have no idea.
He gone would be good. That'd be good.
No, it's
for you. Not for you. I'm just saying for
no
how
one
they
wins.
Feel about
it's
you.
A terrible situation.
Yeah.
I don't know why Bridget seems to make light of it.
She
a robot.
Just keeps
unplug that
bringing
thing.
It up.
I mean, that's very unbranded.
Like one of those AI women that just don't like other real women in the room. Yes.
Right. You know what? As Taylor said, we all can wear our crowns, all right?
Uh-huh.
Bridget, put that in her system.
What does that mean?
This is not a sports-related one that I pulled out of the box.
Oh, what is it?
Why am I getting these strange ones? That
I don't know.
Race for the GOP nomination ahead of the 2024 presidential election. Spin this positively.
Oh, God.
It is possible.
Oh, God.
It is possible that...
that was a tough pull.
This will be
good. Yeah. Like the don't look up situation.
You were hoping Mark would get that.
It's possible that some sort of interstellar debris that, that sounds small, would actually be like half the size of Earth.
Right.
Lands directly on the United States of America, and we don't have to deal with any of it.
That might not get there.
Like, you don't have to deal with what seems like a very murky unattractive, nettlesome problem. We've led decent lives up to now. And then, bang, it's over, and we're all in some sort of, like, cosmic dreamland, and we don't...
Kind of a best-case scenario.
That's how I'd spin it positively, is, like, another, like, world event that would take place.
Right.
We don't have to go through all this.
As it's coming to the ground, no one's worried about, like, how come we couldn't get the 10th guy on the stage? Well, he didn't have enough, you know, percentage votes. It's like, shut up.
We
can
go.
You imagine nobody moderating one of those debates?
How about a little... overhaul the Electoral College.
Yeah.
Well, feels about
that. That one is overdue, but there's entrenched.
Stick a pin in that. Let's save that for the government podcast.
There's a lot in this box.
That's what she's.
Panthers are winless and don't own their first round pick.
Say that again?
The Panthers are winless and they don't own their first round
pick.
That's pretty dark.
Pick.
I like this.
Oh, God.
Speaking of the Bears, by the way, there's a chance the Bears pick 1-2.
Yeah.
They own that pick. So Adam Rank might be in the tank right now, Adam Tank, but he'll be flying if they pick 1-2. Well, they just need other people to pick them.
See what they do with it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a chance that the top four picks could be Cardinals Bears because the Cardinals own the Texans pick.
Sloppy.
Now, the Texans, I think, might be too good for that. CJ Stroud won't let it happen. But. It's a tough situation.
Tough sitch. Classic tough sitch.
I think it's something we're supposed to spin positive, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, looking at their schedule here.
Because when Andy Dalton comes out there and...
I don't see a lot of wins. But
no.
Looks a lot better than your number one overall draft pick. And the number two overall draft pick is balling out. Like, none of that feels good. But this was always going to take time, I guess would be my answer to that. Like, there was... not many scenarios where Bryce Young was going to play extremely well with this group of receivers. It was a 2-year process. They were in a rough start, this entire regime. The confusing part, though, is part of the regime was there before Scott Fitter, the GM, and that's where it always gets murky. I always say, start your GM and coach together.
3 weeks before their bye, home against Minnesota. No gimme, and Minnesota is a, dead animal walking game.
Sure, but another winless team. You got a chance.
Right, but a team that easily could be 3-0 if they had last year's luck, so they're not helpless. At Detroit, tough. At Miami, good night, nurse. Mm. So you got to win this week. Got to win it. Got to find a way.
I could spin it positive for Frank Reich. Not fun if you go winless, but the owner is still paying like 7 more years of Matt Rule's contract, so... probably tough to get fired, so you'd live to see another season.
I worry about Frank Reich because it does feel like, first of all, he's lost a lot of games in a row, just you think about how the way the Colts end. And
yeah.
And he always used to have so much energy, and it does feel like the light is a little out right now, that it's just...
That's a little tough for us to say that, though. Like, we're not there, we're not...
I tried this with Bruce Arians.
I just mean like the chutzpah, the energy. Like, I think it's wearing on him.
He's got a big job.
This losing.
He has a huge, like,
not a young guy either.
He wants to make it through the season.
It's like someone around the building. You know, it's like you're scheduled for like 10 shows. Maybe you don't have as much energy for that 10th show. Frank Reich's been through a lot of these games now without a break. Yeah. He could have used a break.
Maybe he took a hydroxyzine last night.
Just don't take two.
Oh, my God. I can only take a half. All right.
It is a tiny box.
What's in the fucking box?
Okay. Taylor Swift is literally too famous to find enduring love at this stage of her life. So I would say, I know I have to spin this positive, but I have to say first that I don't truly believe any of this. I don't believe that Travis and her are dating. I feel like it's
Michael
GIF,
the Michael Scott GIF.
PR.
Thank you.
It's a complete PR move.
If you want to talk, like, your shit, talk your shit, pimp.
It feels like too much all at once. So I'm on to you, Taylor. But like, I don't know. I have no idea. Imagine trying to have a normal relationship when you are Taylor Swift and you're going on these international tours and everyone loves you and worships the ground you walk on. Then how do you pivot into a personal relationship with someone?
That's why the box asked.
I don't know.
It's uneven to begin with that he's a fan going to the show and giving her the bracelets. That's starting the relationship. Mm-hmm. Even though he's
a
great person in his own right, it's just starting with an imbalance that eventually might be problematic.
Imbalances are never good at all.
What is her balance? Like dating like a more romantic, still living younger Michael Jackson? Like, what?
No.
Wow.
But maybe
she's
just
got to find like 1985. Like,
somehow meeting someone that yeah.
There's always an imbalance, though.
Yeah,
always is.
That's like, the point.
But he can handle it, though. Like, if it's real, okay? If it's real, it's like Travis Kelce isn't sitting around pouting about the fact that she's more renowned than he is. Like,
no.
She's like...
not right now.
All right, but
and
I mean,
this is
I don't
not
think,
to bash.
She also, I would say, that, like having watched like documentaries about her and stuff, like behind the scenes, she seems like pretty down to earth to me.
Seems very
she's not
nice.
Basking in her own fame, thinking she's so much better than Greg or Travis
Kelce.
She
did produce those documentaries. I mean, it's just
I do love
at least worth pointing.
I mean, all right, but
I love when like sports, when sports bros though, when like entertainment veers into sports or like when news kind
this
of veers
fun.
In and people are. In a different lane, I kind of love that for like the announcers and everything else.
This is fun.
Do you think
I'm enjoying
that
this.
Travis Kelce's mom, though, like who cares about her son as a son, not a famous football player, right? And they're very tight. That she would, unless it was like this is so good for you and everyone else, like they're hanging out and like they were. That kind of seemed real to me a little bit, right? Do you think the mom would be like, I'm really cool with my son having a fake relationship?
Unless she's in on it. Unless she's in on it.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like that was
so exciting for her, too.
It's just a little next level if the mom's just like, but you know what? We're dealing with like ultra famous individuals. So
that's so fun for the mom, for Donna. Like she's sitting watching her son, and the most famous person in the world is next to her, like
I think that's
rooting
fun.
Along
I just
with
think,
her
like,
son.
I don't know. I can't, maybe I, there's this part of me that wants to believe that it can be real, and that yet I see where you're coming from with the.
Maybe I should be less cynical.
No, I don't think. I think you. It's a healthy cynicism is fair in this situation.
This one kind of is a repeat of a conversation we ended up having, but I got Justin Fields' official jersey owners, NFL Shop retail price $129.99. That's a pretty big investment that I'd be worried
I wouldn't
about.
Buy. I would. I'd hold on that purchase.
Mac Jones looking like the QB2 in that draft class. Kyle Shanahan was right.
It's depressing.
This one, I like this one, but maybe we'll save it for Thursday.
Wow.
Kind of get going here.
Okay.
Oh, we could do some box entries tomorrow.
Dan's just reading the rest of what he wrote in the box.
There you go. This is for you, Connie. Also.
What?
I gave you a good one. You've had a couple toughies.
I got an election question.
According to Pro Football Focus, Jalen Carter is the highest graded interior defensive lineman, third highest graded defender overall. He looks so good. The Eagles losing Javon Hargrave felt like such a terrible thing because he played so well for them last season, and he goes to the 49ers, who are already
still could
a
be
stacked
terrible,
defense. And yes, but... Howie Roseman goes out and is able to draft Jalen Carter, and the way that he started his rookie season, he looks incredible.
I think Dan nailed it on Sunday. How were we? At what point did we stop letting the Eagles just do this to the rest?
Oh
of the
my league? God!
Just start copying what they do.
I
but
love
do
that
it before them.
The Eagles.
You got to do it before they get the chance.
It's also a position that usually takes a while to get going, and he only played like 20 something snaps, so like they're able to rotate him in. But he's playing at a level where he'll get considered for, it's very early, but for the Pro Bowl and whatnot, which as a rookie defensive tackle just doesn't happen unless you're Aaron Donald.
And it should be said, because we like get on Seattle and other teams that passed on Carter here, like he had some very real issues going on off the field in the run-up to the draft that, you know, understandably, some teams were nervous about it and didn't know what it meant for the bigger picture of this prospect that they were bringing in. And we still don't know. We don't know what Jalen Carter
is. I think they were more nervous that he was not putting all he could into the pre-draft process because he seemed understandably affected by that. You know what I mean?
But also some bad decision-making that led to the incident in which people died. It was like a really tragic situation. To bring up Seattle again here, but they've made kind of a killing on banking on guys that have had issues and taking chances. And the Eagles took a calculated risk.
Yeah.
And so far it's like the biggest move of the draft.
Seems like up Seattle's like avenue to,
that's why everyone said he was going there.
Yeah.
It was like, it made so much sense.
And they needed it badly.
And they needed it.
Makes Howie Roseman look great.
All right, that was what was in the box.
I enjoyed that. I think we're going to bring that back.
It was fun. We have fun. Anything else? Colleen, I want to get a shout out / plug in for Connie.
What?
Speaking of the media minute, Amazon's doing fine, but I want Connie. I want Connie on Thursday Night Football Amazon. That's what I want, but I don't get that. But what you do get is Connie on NFL Network.
That's right.
So... halftime, pregame? But nope, not halftime.
No,
pre-game,
no halftime.
Post show.
Uh huh. It's actually super fun. We have MJD on the show and Michael Robinson, and then on site we have Mike Garofolo and Steve Smith and their maniacs.
What a gang!
And we have a great time. It's a really fun hang.
Did you hear the end of the Sunday show when I made Steve Smith laugh in the
I have not. I have not finished the Sunday show yet.
I just wheeled around Greg right behind me.
Uh-huh.
Bang! Gave him a thumbs up.
You're certain to hear about it from Steve Smith the next time that you and he meet.
I will ask him
about it.
I will ask him on Thursday.
I had him rolling. All right. Anything else?
Great.
No.
Let's go. We'll be back Thursday.
Get out of here.
With NFL Plus. New NFL Plus production coming up Thursday. Also, two pods. The preview app and the TNF recap. How about that? We're doing our job. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.